So first, let me wish everyone Shavua Tov, Kodesh Tov, and a special welcome to Dr. Herb Tarrigan, who's here. We're really excited. We haven't seen him in a while. Now, if you have this page, then we're going to start with a quote from the Ramban. So on the top right, it'll say Tet Zion. And then if you go over to the left column, hopefully you'll find the paragraph that says Aval HaRamban, which is about 3-4 lines down from the top. So at least we all have the same, we have the same paragraph that we're looking at. So what's going on with this Ramban? We have a statement of Rav Huna, and we have an elaboration of Rav. So let's go over. Rav Huna says that the inferior quality oils are excluded on Chanukah, just like they're excluded on Shabbos, bein b'chol u'bein b'Shabbos, whether or not you're using these oils during the weekdays of Chanukah or on Leil Shabbos of Chanukah. And the Rishonim are bothered. Why are they bothered? Because Rava, when he interprets Rav Huna, he says that Rav Huna is predicated on two halachas. One halacha is called Kavsa Zakukla, which means that if he uses these inferior oils, he might not be able to fulfill the mitzvah with these inferior oils, because the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah requires Ner Doluk, and he might not be able to achieve Ner Doluk in the case of these Shmonim Psulim. Then Rava goes a step further and he says, I'm going to derive another conclusion, an additional conclusion for Rav Huna, and that is Mutal Lishtamesh Li'ora, which means that the fact that Rav Huna will tell you that on Leil Shabbos you can't use these inferior oils even as an Ner Chanukah, it must be because of Shema Yata. And Shema Yata would only make sense if you hold Mutal Lishtamesh Li'ora. So the Rishonim, almost pe'echad, ask the following question. It doesn't seem to make any sense. How could it be that Rava derives a second conclusion from Rav Huna, namely that Mutal Ishtamish Liora, and therefore there's an Isur on Leil Shabbos of using these Neros of Chanukah, which are inferior oils, because of Shemiyata? Who said that Rav Huna maintains that? Because Rav Huna is only telling you that the oil is possible for Chanukah. And the reason why it's possible for Chanukah is Kavsa Zakukla. What does that have to do with Shemayata? There's nothing in the formulation of Rav Huna that would justify Rava's conclusion that Rav Huna is making a statement about Shabbos. He's not making a statement about Shabbos. He's not employing the Gzera and the Shavus of Shemayata. He's only operating within the framework of Chanukah. And he's telling you that because of the halachas of Chanukah, the demands of the mitzvah of Chanukah, these inferior oils will not facilitate your kiyum ha-mitzvah, for whatever reason. And therefore it's possible, bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking about the weekday of Chanukah or the night of Shabbos or Friday night. So in order to answer this question, the Ramban suggests a pretty way out idea. I call it a little bit of a revolution. And he says the following. Hagemara Savra. Okay, everybody have the place? Hagemara Savra. Shekeman Shebeshavas im nichbe haner. In other words, during the week of Chanukah, if it goes out, you can rekindle it. And we can expect you and obligate you to do so, but not on Leil Shabbos. It's already after Shkia, there's no possibility of doing so. Umemela, he says, Af mi shesover shem kova ner Chanukah tzorach lachzor ladliko. In other words, within the framework of formulating a chiyuv and a mitzvah of ner Chanukah, the chachom could be misaken, that if it goes out, you're required to rekindle it. They have certainly room, and they can manipulate in that way and say, look, it's not enough that you lit it once, you got to light it twice. That's something that they can formulate as an obligation with regard to the chol of Chanukah. But modem, they'd have to admit that with regard to Shabbos of Chanukah, where there's no possibility of rekindling the Nair, so which halacha, which requirement has to be completely dropped? Kofsa Zakukla. So again, when it's weekday and Kofsa Zakukla is an institution, is an obligation that I could fulfill, it's feasible to fulfill Kofsa Zakukla because on Chol I could rekindle the light. So then the halacha could be predicated on this principle of Kofsa Zakukla. But when we get to Shabbos, there's no possibility of formulating a requirement of Kofsa Zakukla because of Shabbos. And therefore, Modeh, we have to admit that the Shabbos Chanukah, there is no requirement of Kofsa Zakukla. And if there's no requirement of Kofsa Zakukla, then presumably there's no reason to exclude these inferior oils. The whole reason we passel these oils during the week of Chanukah is because of Kofsa Zakukla. But on Leil Shabbos, they couldn't have possibly imagined establishing a chiyuv of Kofsa Zakukla. And if they couldn't establish a chiyuv of Kofsa Zakukla, then therefore all the shmonim that were second rate and disqualified with regard to the rest of Chanukah would have to be kosher on Chanukah. In other words, we're going to take Chanukah, we're going to split it into two categories based on the possibility of Kofsa Zakukla or the impossibility. If it's possible to implement and require Kofsa Zakukla, then we're going to passel all the shmonim, because we don't think that Kofsa Zakukla will allow you'll be able to fulfill your chiyuv of Kofsa Zakukla with these second-rate oils, because of whatever reason, Rashi says Shema Yivsha, whatever your reasoning is. But in the case of Shabbos, of Chanukah, there's no feasibility to apply the principle of Kofsa Zakukla and to require you to rekindle the light, obviously, because you can't do that in Shabbos. So therefore, we have to drop the requirement of Kofsa Zakukla. If we drop the requirement of Kofsa Zakukla, then these Neros and these Shmonim should be kosher on the night of Chanukah. Because again, the whole reason why we passel in the rest of Chanukah is because of Kofsa Zakukla. But if there's no Kofsa Zakukla, then all these Shmonim should be kosher. And yet, Rav Huna says that all these shmonim psulim are posel bein b'chol ubein b'shabbos. Why should they be posel on Shabbos? Says the Rabban. On Shabbos, there's no din of kofsa zakukla. Therefore, let me just finish up, Ruvain. Ubishabbos, he says, lefi kulam, and there's no one who can disagree. Mitzvah hadlokas ner Chanukah, he be etzem maisa hadloka. The Lova Mesha Ner Dolek. Now, if we had a Hakira, what is the nature of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is it Maisad Lok or is it Ner Dolek? So he says that on Leil Shabbos, Kuliyamalo Pligi, that it's Maisad Lok. It can't be Ner Dolek. Because Ner Dolek would mean that it has to extend in a period of time that starts with Shkia Sachama, ends with Mishatichla Regel Menashuk. And it's impossible for him to require him to have a Ner Dolek, which means that if it goes out, he has to rekindle it to guarantee that it's lit during that
period. Even if Anochos and Mitzvah, he says, it can't apply to Shabbos, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure about Anochos and Mitzvah, because I didn't learn that sugi yet, Sam. So you'll have to wait for me to get up to that sugi. You're ahead of me. But as far as this Chakira, what is the nature of Ner Chanukah? Is it the Maisad Lok or is it the Ner Dolek? Again, I'm not going as far as to say Hanochos of this. It could be you need a Maisad Loka, but it's got to set up an Ner Dolek. Then there's no way on Shabbos I can require you to stand over the candle, so to speak, and make sure that from the moment of Shkia Sacham until the moment of Achetich Regem Mashuk, it's going to continue to be a Ner Dolek. How can I require that of you on Shabbos when Shabbos is also the Havar is one of the Lama Tesmal Lokas?
Likelihood is not anything he thinks of.
Say it again?
Likelihood, just to say you light it so that it's likely to burn. Obviously, you don't stand over it, but you know that it's
enough. Well, again, we're holding now that there's enough of a likelihood that it won't burn or that you won't rekindle it, so that we have to passel the shmonim. Don't start using these inferior oils when you're getting into this whole. So that the Chachom established that these oils should be excluded totally from Chanukah. Says the Rabban, that makes sense during the week when there's halach of what? Ner Dolek. And what does Ner Dolek mean? Kofsa Zakukla. But on Shabbos, you can't require him to stand over the candle and make sure that it's Ner Dolek for a half hour after Shkia. Because, well, what's going to happen? He can't light it anyway. So now we have to go back to what? Drop the definition of Kofsa Zakukla of Ner Dolek and instead pick up the definition of Maisad Laka. No, once you pick up the definition of Maisad Laka, then all these shmonim should be what? Kosher. And yet Rav Huda says that the same psul that applies during the week applies on Shabbos. Says the Ramban. Ubishabis Lufi Kula Mitzad Lokas Nerchani Be'etz and Maisad Lok of Velobiner Dolk. Ubehechrech. Then we have to rack our brains and figure out why does Rav Huda exclude these inferior oils on Leil Shabbos of Chanukah. Hatam Shalas Rav Huda Ladagushman has nothing to do with what? With Chanukah. But rather it has to do with Shabbos. What does that mean, Bishabbos? Shemiyata. And what is Shemiyata predicated on? Mutul Ishtamish Liora. You know, after a while you get used to this. You know, when you see X, you know, it's like you press on the computer a certain button and automatically Y shows up. Like, for example, if you want to say Kalsa Zakakla, then all this, then automatically Ner Dolok appears on your screen. If you say Kofsa Ein Zakakla, then Maisad Luck appears. Then he says the following: if you're going to tell me Shema Yate, then automatically Mutal Ishtamish Liora appears on your screen. So he's saying, how did Rav derive the conclusion? How was Rav forced to derive the conclusion that Rav Huda must be holding that Mutal Ishtamish Liora, because Mutal Ishtamish Liora is the same as what? Shemiyata. And it must be that Rav Huna is applying the Shemiyata to the Neros Hapsulim. In other words, if he's passing these Neros even on Shabbos, it can't be because of Ner Dolok, because of Kofsa Zakakla. There is no Kofsa Zakakla on Shabbos. So it must be, therefore, because of Shemiyata. If it's because of Shemiyata, he must be holding what? Mutar L'shtamish Liora. Dr. Joel, you with me? I almost lost you there.
No, we're there.
Okay.
They don't want to take into consideration then that Amir Lakum is mutter for near Shabbos.
I don't know. I'm not sure about Amir Lakum. All I'm sure about is that the Ramban is making a radical chiddush.
Yeah.
And the Ramban is telling us that Kofsa Zakakla is not miksha achas. It's not an automatic uniform halacha that's going to apply as required to all of Ner Chanukah. The Ramban is going to break up Chanukah into two parts. There's the weekday of Chanukah and there's the Shabbos of Chanukah. And the Nafkamina is going to be in the very essential definition of what Ner Chanukah is. During the week, the definition of Ner Chanukah is Ner Dolok. And that's going to be Kofsa Zakakla. And on Shabbos, the definition of Ner Chanukah is going to be a Maisad Loka. Drop the ball on Zakakla. There is no Zakakla on Leil Shabbos. And therefore, those shmonim, which you passel based on the principle of Kofsa Zakakla Ner Dolok, become kosher on Leil Shabbos. So why then did Rav Huna say don't light them on Leil Shabbos? That's a Shabbos halacha. I was wondering, Nafkamina, according to this Ramban, what would Rav Huna say if a person went ahead and he lit the Ner Chanukah from these shmonim psulim? And I have a suspicion that the Ramban, theoretically, I'm not sure lemaisa, but the Ramban would say the following: that if during the week you went ahead and you lit the Ner Chanukah with the shmonim psulim, you would not be yotze the mitzvah Chanukah. On Leil Shabbos, you would be yotze the mitzvah Chanukah. I'm not going into the mitzvah Bava Avera right now, right? You would violate the shmus of Shabbos of Shemiyata because mutul ishtamish liora, but you would not undermine your mitzvah, your kiyum of Ner Chanukah. Why? Because there is no din of Kofsa Zakakla with regard to Leil Shabbos. And the pella of this chiddush is to say that Ner Chanukah itself divides up into two different categories, namely the weekday of Chanukah. And we're not talking, Rabbo said, about something tofel, you know, something secondary, something insignificant. We're talking about the very kishkis, the very essence of the definition of mitzvahs Ner Chanukah. And it's going to shift from Shabbos to the rest of the week.
How can you do that?
That's what only the Ramban can do that, Alan. If you and I would do that, they would put us to pasture. Yeah. But the Ramban can do such a thing. And the Ramban is trying to answer the kash of all the Rishonim, Tosfos and others. How could it be that Rava derived the conclusion from Rav Huna that Mutul Ishtamish Liora? Where does it say that? All that Rav Huna said was something very innocuous. He was saying Kofsa Zakakla, and if Kofsa Zakakla, don't bother with these. Don't even entertain the possibility of using these inferior. That's all he said. Did Rav Huna say anything about Mutul Ishtamish Liora? How did Rava know that according to Rav Huna, mutul ishtamish liora, which by the way translates into another term, namely what? Shemayata. Where did it say so? All that Rav Huna said very innocently and very naively is that these shmonim are excluded from their Hanukkah. Nay, says the Ramban, they should not be excluded from their Hanukkah on Leil Shabbos. You can justify their exclusion and their disqualification the rest of the week, but not on Leil Shabbos. Because on Leil Shabbos, there cannot be halacha of Kofsa Zakakla. And if there's no Kofsa Zakakla, there's no reason in the world to pass the shmonim. The answer must be that Rav Huna is talking about a whole different set of halachas. He's not talking about Ner Chanukah. He's talking about Shemayat. He's talking about the Shavus of Shabbos. Now, look, at the end of the day, the Ramban is not here in front of us. He may say that Rav Huna would tell you that since in Hilchas Shabbos you're not allowed to use these candles, maybe that would exclude these candles even from Ner Chanukah. I don't know. Azah. Mitzvah very kind of sfar. I don't know. But at least in pure theory, in conceptual terms, the Ramban could validate the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah Leil Shabbos from Dishmanim Tzulim, even though on Motzi Shabbos, if he uses the same exact Shevet, he will forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah.
When does the mitzvah change from Hadlakah to...
When historically or one in any particular Hanukkah?
I mean practically now. Let's see, I lit Ner Hanukkah,
yeah.
Erev Shabbos, okay?
Right.
And it went and it went for five minutes.
So that's going to be the Trumas Hadeshin. We're going to have a long discussion about what happens on Erev Shabbos if it goes out prematurely. Let's leave that for a separate thing. And if you want to later on quote this Ramban, maybe it'll be relevant. I don't know. But that's the Trumas Hadeshin. Okay, that's on the next page.
It's a big nafkamina, of course.
Yeah, okay, but let's go everything kaseda. Right. I just want to enjoy the benefit of this Ramban right now. You know, I'm making a birchas hanenim on this Ramban. The Ramban is saying that whereas during the week of Chanukah there's kofsa zakakla, and we have to pasul lishmonim, on Shabbos of Chanukah we cannot pasul lishmonim under the halach of kofsa zakakla, because there's no such thing as kofsa zakakla on Leil Shabbos. Very, very way out of Ramban.
How are you learning Rashi? Are you learning Rashi that he's getting involved in Kofsa Zakakla?
Well, look,
Rashi's
last week we had the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua is very, we're still working with trying to figure out the iron out the glue. The Pnei Yoshua claims that Rashi had an answer to Tosis' question. Rashi had a secret answer to Tosis' question. How Rava knew that according to Rav Huna, we must be holding that mutal ishtamish li'or. I don't know if we should go over that Pnei Yoshua now. We spent about an hour on
that. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is the pshat in Rashi. Rashi is giving an additional tam, or Rashi is saying the reason this is a subdivision of the Kofsa Zakakla.
All I can tell you about Rashi, again, you may have a different part of Rashi. This is a very long, complicated Rashi. But what I can give you in terms of a general impression of Rashi, again, if you pinpoint me a few words of Rashi, we'll have to take it under advisement. But in general, Rashi is saying the following. If Kofsa Zakakla, we cannot rely on him to rekindle the lamp. If the halacha would require and say that critically, if you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah unless you rekindle the lamp after it went out, ein l'smochalav. Why ein l'smochalav? So Rashi says because he's going to be poshea, whatever that means. That's all I saw in Rashi. The Pnei Yoshua wants to say that the reason why Rashi added this pshia into the equation, instead of saying maybe he'll forget, or he doesn't know it went out, or a million other kinds of shkagas, but pshia sounds like a deliberate kind of thing. So the Pnei Yeshua says that Rashi is trying to answer a question of Tosfos, the question of all questions: How did Rava know that Rav Huna was based on mutul ishtamish li'or? That's a very long presentation of the
what?
Of the Pnei Yeshua.
Why does Rava, or what do you want to say that Rava, not you, but whoever wants to say that Rava made these two halachas that on the weekdays
it's called Sazakukla, and on Shabbos called Sain Zakukla.
Right. Why did he want to say that? Why didn't he just wouldn't it be simpler to say, and with and more falling into the guidelines in general, to say that the Iker mitzvah is hadmaka, that is the mitzvah. Beyond that, that's a hidur mitzvah. When it comes on Shabbos,
I'll tell you why, Alan. We don't want to use hidur mitzvah here because we're dealing with whether or not the shmonim are possible or not.
Yeah,
and when you're dealing with psul, then you're more inclined to think that we're dealing with ikar mitzvah. Meaning, if the shmonim will set up a situation where he's not yotzen ikar mitzvah, then we want to disqualify them. If the shmonim are not good enough for the hidra mitzvah, that's not a reason to passel them.
So instead, he made it into two different mitzvahs.
Well, not two different mitzvahs. What he's saying is the following.
Well, two different
he's saying that basically we could have possibly tolerated the position of kofsa ein zokakla, but only if there's a pressing reason why we cannot obligate him to rekindle the lamp. So this is the Ramban's question. Do we have license? Are we within the green light to obligate a person to see to it that if the candle goes out, he could rekindle it? And here the Ramban says that Kofsa Zokakla is predicated on the feasibility of imposing such a chiyuv. If I can say to you, Reb Yid, I want you to guarantee me that the nair will be doluk, then we can apply the principle of Kofsa Zokakla. We can now expand the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in its most extensive, comprehensive way. It's just, don't just light the candle and finito and get ended. You know, we want you to light a candle that's going to be lit for at least a period of time of Misha Tishke Achama Ad Shetichle Regel Meshuk. But if we can't tell you, Reb Yid, you have to guarantee that this candle be lit for that period of time that we discussed. We can't tell you that. We're bound. Our hands are bound. Then we're going to have to forfeit what would have been l'chatchila, our choice of the expanded grandiose mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is Ner Dolch. We have to give up on that. We have to find a fallback position. The Torah says that Chanukah coincides with Shabbos. There's no way out. There's no such thing as a Chanukah without Shabbos. You might have had two Shabbos, but you certainly have one. And now we have a head-on collision. It's a very fascinating idea when you think about it. It's almost like Hegelian philosophy. You know, there's thesis and antithesis. You can't tell me Chanukah and at the same time tell me Shabbos. Those two things can't go together. Because Chanukah means Ner Dolok. And I can't require of you on Shabbos to have a Ner Dolok. So what do? I can't drop Shabbos, because Shabbos is an Issa Skila. So I gotta drop Chanukah. So what am I going to say? Well, 7 out of days, you have a mitzvah of Chanukah. But one day, skip Chanukah. Skip over Chanukah. Your Shabbos, no Chanukah. So that was one possibility.
Like
yeah, there will be certain mitzvahs that we can't fulfill on Shabbos, so we'll do it during the week, we won't do it on Shabbos. It's not tragic. But it seems like the number 8 was very important to the Chachamim. They wanted 8 full days of Chanukah. So what do we do with Shabbos? The answer is we're going to have to redefine our mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That's what I think the Ramban is saying. We're going to have to take Kofsa Zokaklo, which is the most fundamental, essential definition of Ner Chanukah. We're going to have to drop it. We're going to have to reformulate in a fallback position what the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is. It can't be Ner Dolk, says the Ramban. It's impossible. There's no Ner Dolok on Shabbos. You can tell me to do a Maisad Blocker right before Shabbos, but don't tell me Ner Dolok, because Ner Dolok means that I have to stand over the Ner and guarantee that it continues and rekindle it if it goes out. I can't do that on Shabbos. Says the Ramban, I got a new definition, and that's called Maisad Blocker. Again, it's all the mitzvah of Chanukah. Whatever the mitzvah of Chanukah is, it can be fulfilled through a Maisad Blocker, and I'll prove it to you, because the Ramban is not going to drop the brach on Lil Shabbos. Now, ask the Ramban a different question. Let's say the only shemen I have on Leil Shabbos is shemen posel. Could I make a bracha on Leil Shabbos on shemen posel? Das veisachish. Here, I can waver back and forth. If you'd ask me for my gut reaction, I would say make a bracha, according to the Ramban. Make a bracha on a shemen posel.
Once you redefine it as being in the hadlaka, then of course you make the bracha.
No, but we're not going to allow you. If you ask the Rav what to do, he's going to tell you not to light it, because the shemayata. So the Rav is wearing two hats, you know, when he paskins. One hat is the Shabbos hat, the other hat is the Chanukah hat. On the Chanukah hat, he would say to you, go ahead and light it. There's no Kavsa Zakakla in this case, therefore all the Shmonim are good. On the other hand, there's a Rav who's wearing the hat of Shabbos. You say, don't you dare think of lighting that Chanukah candle. Why? Because Mutal Shabbos Shliora and Sheva Yakta. So what do? Make a brach in such a case? Depends which Rav you ask.
Well, the problem is, if you lit it, and it didn't go out, it stayed lit.
That's not the issue, because again, our question is whether the Shemin is kosher or not.
Yeah,
a person could be madlik with Shemin Posel and get lucky. And yep. Guess what? It didn't go out.
I understand.
I won the roulette.
Now it's saying you yotze with the mitzvah. So it is hadlokas ne'er Chanukah.
That's what I'm suggesting.
So once it's not Lukas Ner Chanukah.
Oh, it is or it isn't?
It is now.
It is.
It is now, even though it only lasted a brief period of time.
Well, that will get to, that's a Chumash Hadesh, and how long did it last? I don't want to get sidetracked.
But what I mean to say,
even though he violated the Sheva Yata, nevertheless, he'll get brownie points for the Mitzvah Chanukah.
Yeah, since the Ramban does not... He doesn't redefine the hadlaka to be to absolutely wipe out the union of that it lasted for 45 a half hour or so. Then why does the Ramban not worry about the fact that now this nair that is lasting is you're using it for a nair Shabbos? And why is that not an Iser?
What do you mean you're... Wait, one second. What do you mean he's using it for Ner Shabbos? Are we talking about a Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah?
It's a Ner Chanukah.
It's a Ner Chanukah.
It's Ner Chanukah.
But so he's not using it for Shabbos. Now, I thought you said he was using it for Shabbos.
No, he didn't intend to use it for Shabbos. But the Gemara is worried about that it will be used for Shabbos Shemayate, and the Ramban that the Ramban is concerned about.
I wouldn't say used for Shabbos, Alan. I'd say used on Shabbos.
All right.
Okay. Used on Shabbos.
Okay. Well, I mean, presumably you could have a negative kavan and say I'm doing this only for purposes of Ner Chanukah and not to use for that, and then you.
No, I don't think he can make a declaration. If Mutal L'shtamish Li'orah, that's the Shita of Rav Huna, I don't think he could declare also L'shtamish Li'orah. Maybe he could take a Neder, if you want to know. Let's say he could say Neder is also like the Neder. Remember, Ruven, I mentioned Neder this morning.
Right.
Yeah, he could take a Neder. But he has no right to change the halakha of Ner Chanukah from Mutal L'shtamish Li'orah to also L'shtamish Li'orah. Once it's Mutal L'shtamish Li'orah, automatically Shema Yata kicks.
When he's changing from hadlaka, just the hadlaka, it's only a hadlock on Shabbos.
From their doluk to my hadlock, you mean the Ramban? If the Ramban is
the Ramban, then when he does he say that there is no mitzvah whatsoever of doluk?
As far as I can see, that's the impression I get from the Ramban.
That
we're just dropping the ner
doluk. What he's saying is there's no such thing as ner doluk on Shabbos.
Correct. Which I find very revolutionary, to say the least.
That's fine. Okay.
As I said, if you were I would say it. They would show us the door.
He could say that. I mean, that's not a problem.
The Ramban can say it.
He could say what the Chazal, that when they made their whole mitzvah, he never made a mitzvah of Daluk on Shabbos.
Excellent. That's what I think. That's the bottom line of everything we've been discussing for the last 15 minutes.
Okay, fine.
All right. What I want to do now, Rabos, because we have a lot on the agenda today, is the sugya of Shemen Sreifa. So what's Shemen Sreifa? We have Truma, and we were mafresh truma from zesim, and then we extracted the oil, and the oil has the status of truma. Now it became tamei. That's indeed a very important principle with regard to the whole history of Chanukah, right? Because they looked for a pach shemen tar for the menorah. So this becomes what's called shemen sreifa. Shemen sreifa means that this truma has to be burnt. It's fascinating because if you ask me what would be the absolute antithesis of truma, would be burning truma. The worst thing you could do in the world under this sky with truma is to burn it. But in the case of truma tmeya, the mitzvah is sreifa. Now, let's turn the clock back to the month of Tishrei. During the month of Tishrei, we spent a lot.
Why is the worst thing?
Because to destroy something that's truma is a violation.
The coin is getting a no out of it.
Okay. Very good. But I'm saying What I meant to say is, let's say a case where the entire handah that I get out of tshuva is just burning the tshuva. Burn, baby, burn. That's all I want to do is destroy the tshuva. Destroying tshuva is a terrible avir.
So it goes back to Alan's concept about how you think about if it's in their dalek or not. How your mind...
Oh, wait, so you're light years ahead of me. I just wanted to give a general introduction to the concept of Shem and Sreif. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So now... I'll tell you about it later.
For both sides. What we did in Chodesh Tishrei was we tried to define the lulav in terms of its requirement of a shir. And we had a Mishnah in the third parak of Sukkah that says that if this lulav comes from what's called an asherah, or from ira nidachas, where the mitzvah is sreifa, then we apply a principle called kitusei mechta shiura. And that means that we completely undermine the shear of this lulav. It's physically, you look at the lulav, it's got four tefachim. It's a very healthy, a good candidate for the mitzvah of lulav. But al pidin, it's completely excluded because of kitusei mechta shiur. So now the question is, what do we do with shemen sreifa? Shemen sreifa means that because this truma was tmeya, it needs sreifa, you have to burn it. Can I use shemen sreifa for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? The Yerushalmi says yes. Bavli doesn't say a word. But let's take the Yerushalmi's position. You're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah with shemen sreifa. The Gemara here in Masechta Shabbos Daf Chaf Alef in Beis, we studied it on Thursday, says that you have to have enough shemen in the ner to last for a half hour from Misha Tishka Chama Ache Tichla Regel Minashuk. Ramah identifies that as a half hour. In other words, the volume of oil has to be a certain minimum shear. That's what we call a shear. Now, if there's a shear in Ner Chanukah, how is it possible? This is the famous question of the Shaar Ephraim, which we're going to look at inside. Let's see it inside. Hiksha Shaar Ephraim. L'shitas Rav, shemutu lahadlik ner chanukah, bipsilos u'shmonim, shenesru ladlokas ner Shabbos, kevon she'im kova ha'ner chanukah, enu tzorach lachzor ladlika. So Rav holds that kovsa ein zokikla, and if kovsa ein zokikla, then all the psilos and shmonim that are listed in the Mishnah at the beginning of Bamei Madlikin that are excluded from Ner Shabbos are kosher for Ner Chanukah, because kovsa ein zokikla. V'chein sovereign Rav holds also l'shtamish li'or haner u'meila ein chasha shemayate keitzad muter, amongst the shmonim that Rav is accepting and validating for Ner Chanukah, which were excluded from Shabbos, is Shemen Sreifa. And how could he allow you to be Madlik Shemen Sreifa, lo Shemen Sreifa, Omed Li Saref? The Yesh Din, and now we go on to page Yud Zayin, Shekol Dov, this is all the Shaar Ephraim, Shekol Dovar, Shetzorach, Sheyeh lo Shir, Vedino Li Saref. What do we say? Kesuse Mechta Shiura. Bahainu Shemi Kevoncha Omeid Lisrefa Nechshav Kiilu Ein Bo Shiur.
Why did they say that instead of saying Kisarif Dami?
You'll see soon. I mean, this is not the same as Kisarif Dami. This is a Hafkas Ashir. Yeah, if it was Kisarif Dami, then we'd be in deep trouble as far as Ner Chanukah is concerned.
Correct,
but this
correct.
Is
that's the way I'm asking that. Is but
because
a standard rule.
We're not accepting Kisarif Dami at this point.
How can they not?
Because it's a machlokas all over Shas, whether you say that something that's omeid to this is to that or not.
But
we don't want to enter into that.
Is that once you say it's omeid, kisarif kisarif, is that
it's again, it's totally in many different sugyas.
I heard
kala
royal bila,
not kala royal bila. No. This is halacha of let's say tvua shegedela called tzarch. Let's say it grew to its mature.
Right.
So it's omidli kotzer, li botzer. So it's kibotzer adult.
Is langan l'sorif a phrase?
Has it did a metalatul and not of karka? What?
Is that a quote?
No. What's a quote is what a quote is that something that's omidli sorif is nechshav ke'eno. It doesn't have a shear.
Well,
one second. On both sides. If let's play according to the following rules. Let's give the Shaar Ephraim at least a chance. You see, you can interfere with me in the middle of my sentence because I'm a nobody. But the Shaar Ephraim was more than just a nobody. So let's give the Shaar Ephraim a chance to finish.
If you're alive, we can argue with you.
I don't want you to argue with me, but only after I present the Shaar Ephraim. So let's hear the Shaar Ephraim's kasha. The Shaar Ephraim asks the following kasha. We have a principle called Kitusei Mechtesh Yurim. It's explicit in the Gemara in Sukkah. This is not the Shaar Ephraim's creation. The Gemara says Kitusei Mechtesh Yurim. And the Gemara says, therefore, lulav shal asheira shal ira nidachas is possible. Fact is, Shaar Ephraim, in the same way that we say that something, since it's ketusei mechtesh yurim, is nechshav kiilu ein bo shir kigon esrik shal asheira shal ira nidachas, is therefore the esrog of ira nidachas is ein bo shir, and ken koshar in ner chanukah tzorek shir bo shemen. Then how could it be possible that a shemen shel sreifa should be any different than shalira nidachas? Just one second before you say big difference, sir. You know, I'm telling you guys that are oriented a little differently than I am. You know, the way I was trained, you know, the Shaar Ephraim is no slouch. Over here. Let's just hear, he's no idiot, so to speak. You know, let's just hear why he thinks there's no big difference. We have a principle called Kisusei Mechtashiu. Anything that has to be destroyed is considered Ke'eno, Kamisha Einbo. And it's Halach and Shi'ur, in Shi'urim. Right, the Gemara applies this in Masechta Sukkah to the case of Shir. I think he quotes the Gemara on the bottom. If you take a look at footnote number Gimel, I don't know if it came out, you'll see it says, Kivavur b'sukkah daflamed hey. Do you see that? Anyway, you'll have to trust me that it's there. So in Sukkah on daflamed hey, the Gemara says that something that requires Sreifa has no Shir, and therefore we exclude an Esrog, or for that matter, Lulav, Shal Asherev Shal Ir Nidachas, because since it has to be burnt, it has no shiur. And the Gemara says that the shiur of Esrog and the shiur of Lulav is Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. All shiurim are Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. But whenever you need a shiur, what's antithetical to a shiur is Sreifa. Like in the cases of Esrog Shal Asherev V'Shal Ir Nidachas. Now, let's apply that principle to the case of Ner Chanukah. Now you can ask me, does Ner Chanukah require a shiur? Well, at least according to the Shaar Ephraim, he has no question that it applies to a shiur. Where did he get that from? Did he invent the word shiur in terms of Ner Chanukah? The Gemara says it explicitly. You can't blame the Shaar Ephraim for that. Right. The Gemara says that the reason why the Brisa says that the Ner has to be Mishatishke Achamat Shetichle Regem Ashuk is L'Shiura. Meaning that that's the amount of oil that you have to put in to the candle. So watch this. Well, this is what you call modus tollens, you know, in logic, right? The first principle that we have is that Ner Chanukah requires a shiur. Nobody can argue with that. The Gemara says it explicitly. The second principle is that anything that requires a shiur, if it requires Sreifos, Kitusei Mechtesh Shi'ura. The third principle is any time that you require shir and it's Kitusei Mechtesh Shi'ura, you cannot fulfill your mitzvah because it's commanded lesser domi, it's ke'eno, there's no shir. Therefore, says the Shaar Ephraim, to the same extent that in the case of an esrog that needs Sreifa, the halacha requires Sreifa, therefore there's no shir because it's Kitusei Mechtesh Shi'ura, so too in the case of Shemen Sreifa, since the Torah requires Sreifa, therefore Kitusei Mechtesh Shi'ura has to apply. There's no room here to argue with the Shaar Ephraim. He's building a logical progression here that which one of the principles of the Shaar Ephraim are you going to reject? Are you going to reject the principle that something that requires a shear will be possible if it's Kitusei Mechtesh Shi'ura? Impossible. That's a Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Lamed Hei. Are you going to deny his premise that Ner Chanukah requires a shear? That's impermeable. How do you say to what word am I looking for? You cannot penetrate inside of it, right? Impregnable. Whatever the word is.
Permeable.
How do you pronounce it?
Permeable.
Impermeable. Okay, that's impermeable. Because the Gemara says in Shabbos on Daf Chaf from the base that Ner Chanukah requires a shear. So then, Once you have the principle of the Gemara and Sukkah, that anything that requires a shear, as we apply b'sreifa, we apply kitzutzei lech shear. And now you have the sugya of Shabbos that says that neirchanik requires a shear. Then anything that requires sreifa is kitzutzei lech shear. It doesn't have a shear. It can't be good for neirchanik. So how can we argue with the Sharifah? There's nothing. Right, Herbie, the floor is yours. But I don't see any weak points here in any of the assumptions of the Sharifah. Everything is crystal clear. Unless you want to say that Enochinami, we don't accept the Yerushalmi, and Shemin Shal Sreifa is possible in Erchan. Yeah, what do you say here?
It's 2 points.
First, give me the easy one first, if you don't mind.
The easy one is first. It's not Lomdish, it's just Metzius. Right. That Ketutim as a shear means when something is Asa Legamri. So if Asa Legamri, there's no shear. But here it's not Asa Legamri. You can use it.
Okay. So that's going to be the Shev Yaakov. Take a look at the next paragraph. And he says the following. He says, you're misinterpreting the Gemara in Sukkah. What does the Gemara in Sukkah mean? He says the following. The Gemara in Sukkah is telling you that the Esrog of Ir HaNidachas, right, is usher b'hanah. You're not allowed to have any benefits from it. Correct? You know what? I think I may have switched the order, if you don't mind. So let's just fast forward over the Shev Yaakov. We'll come right back to the Shev Yaakov. But Herb, you offered the svara of the Chidushe Rosh Taibish. Do you have any friends by that name? Rosh Taibish? Anyway, so he says the following. Kol adin shel kitutse mechta shiura hu dafka bidvarim shenesru b'hano. Pili ploim of a chiddush here. I mean, the Gemara just says that Esrog is ton sreifa. The Gemara doesn't say anything about, Esrog shel asherah is ton sreifa. The Gemara doesn't mention this important point here, that there's another condition, namely that it's got to be osur b'hano. Avol shemin sreifa ain't osur b'hano. Shemitzvah lisrof osa. So just to summarize what Herb is saying, and we'll attribute it to someone who came before Herb, and that's the Chidushe Rosh Taibish. He's saying that the only time you apply the principle of Ketuse Mechtashir, if you have two conditions, it's got to be Tom Sreifa, but it also has to be Isure Hano. But in the case of Shemin Sreifa, which is Mutabadno, so when I burn the Shemin Sreifa, I can put my pot on top of the fire and cook my food. Therefore, there's no kitusse mechtes shiura.
There's another difference.
So let's read it again. Kol adin shel kitusse mechtes shiura dafka bidvarim shenesru b'hano.
So this is a little bit, you see, the way Al phrased it is kind of intuitive. You're going to burn it anyway, it'll be crumbled, there won't be a shear. Aser b'hano doesn't just, from an intuitive point of view, translate kitusse mechtes shiura.
Right, so why? But why should it be so? And again, it doesn't say it in the Gemara.
Right, right.
I mean, you can't just say, well, the Sharifah asked the Kasha, and now I'm going to come up with the bombastic Chiddush, and what the Gemara meant by Kedusa Mechtashirub is Isuri Anah. And there's no justification for that. Unless there's a logically compelling reason, if you give me a Svara, why Isuri Anah should be a... I understood the Gemara says Ton Sreifa. That's the Gemara's language.
So
you need Sreifa.
Crumble.
Yeah, it's command a lesson of it. You know, but to say that you have to add another requirement, it's got to be also about, no,
it's not adding.
It's Mavanin. You know, where does that come from?
It's not adding. He substitutes, I think.
No, look at his language. He says the following.
But he says it's that Isyar Anoa that does it, not the fact that it's going to be burnt.
Right. Kol Adishu Ketuse Mechashur is only conditional on the fact that it's a Dovish and Neser Banoa. Once it's Neser Banoa, then you can tell me, well, I have to burn Isuri Anah, and therefore it's Ketuse Mechashur. So it depends. If you're asking him, I think the answer is yes. If you're asking me, I would say that Isuri Anah is a separate category whatsoever. I'll give you an example. The Torah says, V'lekachtem lachem. Chazal say, Mishel lachem. Okay, Isuri Anah is not considered lachem. For example, the Gemara says, Bava Kama, that Ashor Niskal is Isuri Anah, and therefore it's not lachem. After the Gemara Din Faskila. Or, for example, Isuri Anah, you can't be Makadish and Isha with Isuri Anah. It's a Sugyim Psochim, that if you're Makadish and Isha with Chomets, Bizman, Isur Chomets, it's also Banah, and therefore you cannot, it's not Lachem, it's not yours, you didn't give her anything. Tosis in Gittin wants to know if you write a get on Isurianu, like for example, you write a get on an Ola Shel Orla, so the Gemara says Beferish on Daf Chof that the get is kosher. So Tosis says, how can it be kosher? It's not his get. So Tosis says, you don't need bailus over a get. All you have to do is write the get. You have to authorize, commission the sofer to write the get, lishma, and then you have to give the get. But you don't have to have ownership over the get. It doesn't say lecha. So in Esrog, where it says lachem, I can understand very well that Isuri Anah would be mafkia. But that's a din of lachem. The Gemara applies a different principle. You have to know why. But the Gemara says the principle applying is ketuse mechta shiura because it's tov and sreifa. So now comes along the Rosh Taibish and he adds another condition, another variable into the equation. It's got to be Isuri Anah in order to passel it. Why should I say something?
You wanted to know the answer to your question?
Please.
In Kachim, there's always a klal that if there's a psul begufo of the carbon, or if it's minatzad. Like, if the behemoth is tamei, it's one thing. If the behemoth is yaitz, it's another thing. Same thing here. In the Eir Nidachas, there's the psul is begufo esrog.
Are you saying this in the Rosh Taibish? Or are you saying it's far of your own?
My own.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to.
I'm sorry. You know, you guys are always a step ahead of me. I can't move at the speed of light.
I'm
trying to understand what. Why does the Rosh Taibish think that in order to apply the principle of Kintusei Mechta Shi'ura, we need Isuri Hanon? That's what I'm focused on. You're saying another spark.
I'm saying what the Isuri Hanon is not Isuri Hanon. It's a difference if it's in the Chayfetz itself. If it's an
so well, just 1 second. Well, I don't know, Herb. You know, I gave this out on Thursday. You weren't here, so I don't know if you went through this. You know, we're gonna.
No, I didn't.
Right? How could you have gone through it if you weren't here on Thursday?
I didn't.
So.
I'm
a little bit frustrated because I don't know how to say this in a nice diplomatic way. This distinction between...
Be quiet.
I'm not saying be quiet. I'm saying the distinction between something that's inherent in the object and something external is going to be this entire paragraph from Kiveg. I don't expect you to have known the paragraph from Kiveg because you wanted to get this page.
Sorry.
So what I'm trying to do here, and it's, you know, life is challenging. That's the nature of life, right? Is I'm trying to present three different approaches to try to answer the Shari Ephraim's question. The first approach is the Isurei Hanah approach, meaning that what's different about Shemen Sreifa as opposed to the case of Ira Nidachas and Asherah is that Shemen Sreifa is Mutubano. That's he's establishing a chokvul yavar. He's adding a whole new condition to the principle of kintusei mechdash yura, and he's saying that kintusei mechdash yura is not an absolute principle; it's conditional, and you need isurei hanu. Then we'll get to Reb Kivega. The Mirz Hashem will get to the Shev Yaakov. Three. It's a three pronged attack to answer the shair.
I withdraw my comments.
No, what I mean is hold your comment off until we get to Reb Kivega, because you know it's good if you could be machave into Reb Kivega. Is it not? You know, my mother married in a second marriage. She married Reb Yeshua Cohen. Reb Yeshua Cohen told me that he had a friend who learned with him in yeshiva, in Chevron Yeshiva. We're going back like 90 years ago. Because Reb Shu Cohen was alive today, he'd be 100 and something. Anyway, so he said about his friend that his friend settled in the north, in a moshav, and whenever Reb Yeshua would come to visit his friend, he was sitting there with Reb Kivega trying to answer up Reb Kivega's cash or to understand Reb Kivega's terrors. He loved Reb Kivega. There's only one problem. He didn't wear a yarmulke. He was not frum. But one thing blight from his years in yeshiva, he loved Rabbi Kivei. Today it's a little rare to find such a breed. But back in the day when they were so intellectual, you know, Frumkeit was Frumkeit and learning was learning, you know.
That's Bobby Starov from.
Sure, he was a Frumkeit in yeshiva. He learned to one of the best yeshivas in the world that ever existed. But he settled up in a kibbutz up in the north and... He's what do they call today? They call it, he's off the derech. You ever hear that phrase?
Sure.
He was off the derech. But whenever Rabbi Yeshua came to find him, he was learning Rabbi Kivayga. That much he loved, answering up Rabbi Kivayga. You know, so the Bali Musa would ask, can he get schar for the mitzvah? Does he get any schar for it? You know, l'chayr or not? You know, say it. Anyway, so let's get back to this. So I'm thinking to myself, what's this whole condition here of Isurei Hanoah, and why should it be relevant? I don't know. I thought I had something, but I don't like it. Let's go back to the Shev Yaakov. Maybe Hashem Yoreinenu will get a little bit more of an insight. Yesh lechalik bein esrog l'ner chanuk. Dafka b'dvarim she'tu'unim shir min ha'torah o mi'alocha l'moshe mi'sinai ne'mar adin shel kitusei mechta shi'ura.
Can we get a window?
Oh,
get a drop of air in here.
I don't know if anyone is as hot as I am. If it gets too cold, tell me and I'll close the window. But that's highly unlikely. Okay. So in other words, the Shev Yaakov wants to be mechalek between two different cheftzah shel mitzvahs. A cheftzah shel mitzvah d'oraisa, and then there's a cheftzah shel mitzvah d'rabban.
Who was the Shev Yaakov?
I think his name was.
I mean, what
was it? Rav Yaakov Reicher, maybe? I'm not sure. He lived about 150, about 200 years
in the Reicher world. I
don't know. You know what? I need the what's called base arcade spark. Can you get that up on your computer?
I'm not as good as. All right. The whole shear.
So we'll lean at it tomorrow.
I could just get
tomorrow paid. Or latest Tuesday. I'll bring in the base arcade spark because I have a copy of the Shev Yaakov in my library. Right? Okay. So he says the following. Okay. I'm going to just skip and then we'll go back for a second. Avol ner chanukah umid rabbana. That's a pretty solid premise. Very hard to reject that premise. And then he says that since ner chanukah is the rabbanan, therefore we don't apply ketusei mechtashir. Now, I want to make two points here. Point number one is, what's the difference between a Doraisa and a Darbonan as far as Mikta Shiura is concerned? And secondly, there's a heck of a lot more here in the Shev Yaakov. I skipped like half of it. And why did I skip half of it? Because I wanted to show you that there's Erev Parshios Ksiv Khan. You know, he starts with being Machalik between a Doraisa and a Darbonan, and then he adds a whole nother Svara over here, which I think is very close to Reb Kivega's Svara that we're about to learn. And he writes that if you need a shir min haTorah, is nemar adin shel ketusei mechtashir kevan. Look at that third line. Kevan shemitzad atzmo roi oso dovar lekiyum hamitzvah shenemar bo din shenechshav keilu ein bo shir. So he's emphasizing the fact that the physical entity has a shir, but the Torah says that we cannot recognize the shir because of ketusei mechtashir. So you see those words that you want to underline here. Kevin shemitzad atzmo roi oso dover l'kiyum ha-mitzvah. There's nothing, there's no defect in the object. It's a perfectly beautiful object. I could show you two esrogim or two lulavim. You wouldn't be able to, in a million years, tell me the difference between the two if you didn't know that one was taken from an asherah and the other was not. Ela shenemar din shenechshav ke'ilu ein bo shir. Din, which is called Ketusei Mechtashir. So that din was formulated with regard to what kind of mitzvah and what kind of requirement of a shir, a mitzvah min haTorah. Avol ner chanukah umid rabbanan. Okay, from this point on, that's what I call Erev Parshis. Now he seems to go off on a different vein, a different tangent. He says, Kevan she'eino nase el lepirsum anes. What is he trying to tell me here? He's trying to tell me why it's only the Rabbanon? I mean, no, I know that Ner Chanukah is only the Rabbanon. But what does he mean? Kevan she'eino nase el lepirsum anes. Like he's downgrading Ner Chanukah. Eino nase el lepirsum anes. Then he writes the following. This is completely irrelevant to his thesis. Hare mutu lahadlik af bi'isurei hanoah. At this point, he's asking himself a kash, apparently. He's saying, okay, so let's say I solved the problem of a shear, but I still have another problem of Isuri Anoa. But he says, Mutalad Lakaf Isuri Anoa. He says, to do a mitzvah with Isuri Anoa is not a problem. Why? Because Kevin Shemitzvah's Lav Lehenos Nidnu. So we have a principle that you don't violate Isuri Anoa with a mitzvah.
That's just a tangential comment. How you allowed a light?
Exactly. It's as if, and if you ask me a kasha, all right, so you solve the problem of mitzvah.
Anybody with kasha, the Gemara also, Shamas Reifa, I can do it, right?
I'm not sure what you're saying. He's asking a kasha on the very etzem din.
That you're allowed a light.
Yeah. He's saying like this, okay, I solved the problem of Kedusa Mechlis Shuri. That doesn't apply to a mitzvah Drabbanon, Kevin Shainer Nasel, a Pirsim Hanes, whatever that means. But you'll ask me, but how can I use the Shemin Sreifa for a mitzvah? I'm benefiting from the Shemin Sreifa. I don't know what he means by that. But in any event, he says, Mutal Havlik Afti Yisuri Ano. Why? Because mitzvah Slav Le'enos Nidna.
Okay.
So now he has another shtickle to it. Like he keeps going from one topic to the other here. He says, Vari Mutter. He says, Memela. Ein Hashemen Sarach Shir Bi Atzmo. Now he's saying Rabbi Kveger, right? We'll soon see Rabbi Kveger. That the Shir is not the Atzmo, but it's only a Shir of Sha'al Yodo Nase Pirsum Anes. Now he comes back to the element of Pirsum Anes. It sounds like he's saying that we don't need a Shir in Ner Chanukah. The whole premise of a Shir in Ner Chanukah is completely gone. What we need is Pirsum Anes. So don't take the Gemara seriously, he's saying. When the Gemara says L'shiura, that's what it says on Daf Kaf Aleph on the base, don't think the Gemara means a shir. The Gemara means Pirsum Anes. We need Pirsum Anes. That's not called a shir.
But the Gemara says L'shiura is talking about whatever shir is necessary in the Pirsum Anes.
Right, you and I would have said that we need a shir, and we're just using the Pirsum Anes to establish the shir. He's saying, no, we need Pirsum Anes, we don't need a shir. And any concept of shir is only a borrowed concept. It's not the real McCoy shir. It's only Pirsum Anes. So Mimanifshak is saying, if you can apply the principle of Kedusa Mechlis Shirim and exclude Shem and Sreifa, I'm going to tell you, well, this is only a mitzvah d'rabbana. And Kedusa Mechlis Shirim only applies to a mitzvah d'oraisa. If you're going to tell me, how can I use it for the mitzvah being nene from Shem and Sreifa? So the answer is no. I'm going to apply the principle of mitzvah slav l'enos. And if you're going to tell me, but the shir is in the atzmo shel Hashemen, which again he seems to have rejected that in the midst of the abundance. I don't know why he's even coming back to hit the ball on that, to shoot. You know, he's saying, if you'll tell me, well, what about ketusim mechta shiura? That's only when the shir is b'shemen atzmo. But here, there's no shir in the etzem shel shemen. But you only need the shemen in order to achieve your goal. It's like a means to an end to achieve your goal of what? Of Pirsum Anes. It's a big hodgepodge here.
There is an echo over here, basically.
I know. I also hear it. Yeah.
No, I'm actually being metaphorical.
I was just joking.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So it sounds almost like he's saying it's a chiyuv on the gavra, and it doesn't involve the object.
Beautiful. So wait a minute. I'm not sure if Sam, you and I are saying the same thing, but I wanted to ask, what's the difference between a mitzvah d'oraisa and a mitzvah d'rabbanan? So I think that's what Sam is saying.
And you'll tell me what I was reading yesterday after Chant. Yeah.
Oh, so I wanted to say the following, that a mitzvah d'oraisa is a mitzvah nechefza. In other words, when the Torah commands you to take this lulav, then the lulav becomes a chefza shel mitzvah. Not so in the case of a mitzvah d'rabbanan. A mitzvah d'rabbanan, I have to fulfill the rabbanan.
Whatever there's rabbanan, other reasons for the rabbanan, but not only I am.
So the rabbanan want me to achieve pirsum anes, and this is the way they formulated how I do it. But it's not really a chefza shel mitzvah per se.
So therefore, psulim, and it doesn't matter.
Correct. That psulim apply to a chefza shel mitzvah. Here, it's not really a chefza shel mitzvah.
And that's true for that's true with Megillas Esther.
Well, no, it depends. Are you changing the Megillah? I mean, if you, let's say, for example, you omitted certain letters in the Megillah, so that b'mitzias, it's not royal in mitzvah. But here he's saying there's nothing. This shemen looks identical. You know, its chemical makeup is exactly identical to any shemen. Elo what? It's truma and truma tmeah. So he says that's only that's not inherent in the chefta. The chefta itself is royal in mitzvah. So the chefta itself is royal in mitzvah. Now should I apply the principle of Kedusa Mechta Shira? And the answer is, it depends whether it's Doraisa or Drabbana. If the mitzvah is Doraisa, then we're going to apply the principle of ketusim echshishu. If the mitzvah is only the rabbanon, we're not going to apply ketusim echshishu. So it comes out that when we compare the chidushei harash mitaybash to the chok Yaakov, we have the following: to Shev Yaakov, excuse me. The Shev Yaakov is saying that you only apply ketusim echshishu to a mitzvah doraisa. The chidushei harash mitaybash is saying you only apply ketusim echshishura to isurei adam. And since Shemin Sreifa is Mutabana, therefore we're not going to apply the principle of Ketusei Mechtashiru. In other words, the Machlokas here in the Achronim is what are the conditions necessary, what are the rules and regulations to apply Ketusei Mechtashiru?
Yes.
And to those rules and regulations, are they fulfilled in the case of Ner Chanukah? So if your condition is it's got to be Doraisa, Ner Chanukah is only Durabon. If your condition is got to be Suri Anon, then Shemin Sreifa is not also.
What is Pusim when Nisa? What type, where is there such a chiyuv that we have in the world that we have to be in the far side?
I don't know. You could ask the following question. Is this a rabbinic creation, Pirsim Anes, or is it Doraisa?
That's
what would be the kiyum doraisa of Pirsum Anes?
Hallel,
maybe Hallel, maybe to be Shabbat and Kodesh
Baruch. Have a kiyum whenever there's an ace to be.
The Pirsum itself is a form of praise to God.
So therefore, that makes the hadlaka a doraisa then. Because it's the only way that you're
God. Well, no, maybe how the pair would be.
How are we getting him to rise up here?
I'm just saying, if you take a look at his language, you see he says, Yesh Lechak, you have the right line? Are we on the same line? Veshev Yaakov?
Yes.
He says, Yesh Lechak ben Esrog l'ner Chanukah, kevin shedavka b'dvar matu unim shir min ha-Torah, o me'alocha l'moshe mi-Sinai, nemar adin shel ketusim mechtash yura. And then if you fast forward again, because in the middle he has a whole a detour here. Well, Ner Chanukah mid rabbanon, which I understand to mean that if we don't apply the principle of Ketusei Mechtashiru. But Alan is asking, is it really so simple to assume that Ner Chanukah is the rabbanon and then tell me it's Eino Ella LePirsum Anes? Maybe Pirsum Anes is a mitzvah doraisa. How do I fulfill the mitzvah doraisa of Pirsum Anes if not through the Ner Chanukah? So maybe the Shev Yaakov is of the opinion that the mitzvah of Pirsum Anes, as far as the Doraisa is concerned, can be fulfilled in many other ways. You know, you say Al Anisim, you say Hal, but you don't necessarily need the Ner Chanukah. And therefore, the Shir of Ner Chanukah is only the Rabbana.
It's not in any Sefer Mitzvahs.
What? The
Pirsum.
Okay, so I'm leaving myself a little room for my next year, if you don't mind. So I don't want to give away I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Rav Soloveitchik has a whole chiddush about what Pirsum Anes is all about and what Doraisa is. It's based on a Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos. So let me leave that for another day, because I don't want to give you all my cards, because then I won't have anything for tomorrow. Yeah. You can
have to get a new deck.
You have to get a new deck, right. You know, they once asked Rabbi Zalman, reportedly, I don't know, well, you know, what's the heck to say this? He says, the shir. I have to say shir. Okay, now we have Rabbi Kiveg. Says Rabbi Kiveg, Ketusei Adin Shal Ketusei Mechtashim Nemer Dachka B'Dover Shetzar Shir B'Atzma Kegon Lulav O Shofar. He's like a precursor of Rabbi Chaim Brisk. I mean, he was before Rabbi Chaim Brisk. He says, well, Dover She'eno tzarch shir bi'atzmo lo nemer bo ketusei mechtashiuro. Lefize yesh lomar she'ner chanuk lo nemer ashir b'shemen atzmo. Okay, now why not? I mean, I would say that it's the volume of the oil. So he says a vitz. Yes, he says you can. Every shir has to be standard. Do you know what I mean by standard? It has to be like absolute
standard.
Yeah, it has to be the same for you and the same for me.
Uniform.
Every shear, right?
Uniform.
Uniform. It's got to be 3 tefachim, 4 tefachim. It's got to be keegos, kebetza, whatever the shear, kezayis.
Kmole
lugma. He says, here's the exception to the rule. How much oil do you have to put in? He says it's relative. It's changeable.
To what?
Oh, he says it depends on the size of the psila. Listen to his logic.
Yes,
he says, yachal lasos psila daka im ktsas shemen v'yadlik shir zman shal ad shetichlem en eshum. O, yitein psila ova v'harbe shemen. So for you, because your psila is daka, you only need an ounce of shemen. But my psila is a psila ova, and I'm going to need 2 ounces of shemen. So you can't say that the shir is in the shemen atzma. Ella, Nemar shir shel zman. In other words, the main point here, the shir, is to get to that half hour. How you get to the half hour, is it this amount of shemen or that amount of shemen, that fluctuates. That's relative, that's not absolute.
What is?
And he says the following, l'ficha gam im nomar shem shemen sreifa ein shir, even if you'll tell me ketusim echta shiura, he's not going with the other mahalchim. That it's only Durabonah, there's no Ketusim Ektashura, or it's not Yisuri Anah, there's no Ketusim Ektashura. I'll grant you that it is Ketusim Ektashura, but there is no Shir in Shemin. Why is there no Shir in Shemin? The Gemara says L'Shira. The answer is Misha Tishka Chava Chetich L'Rekim L'Shira, that's the Shir.
But that's a variable Shir too.
Well, let's assume that it's not a variable shear. Obviously, the Brisker Rav thought it was variable, but the Gemara says it's Ad Shetichlu Ebeshuk. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, it's a half hour. He doesn't tell you, well, because they're getting out of the movie theater later, you need more than a half hour. So before the Brisker Rav, there was also Matan Torah. Half hour. You know, you get to Telzik. You get they still send out the Telzik candles. You know. The Telzer candles, the colored candles.
It didn't follow me.
We used to get it from Cleveland, the Telzer candles. Then you have to, they give you a self-addressed envelope, you know, to send it back, send the donation to Telz, right? So, what was the share of each one of those candles? A half hour. I once timed it. It was actually 40 minutes. It lasted a little longer. The red ones last more than the yellow ones. I'm just kidding. You know, just, that was just a joke, a bad joke. Anyway, so there's no set share here, right? I would say, without Rebbe Kivega, well, you got to have enough oil, enough wax to last a certain period of time. He's saying no. He's saying that doesn't set up a shear because there are different variables that play a role in the equation. Lefichach, gamim nemar, even if I would grant you shem shem and sreifa ain shear, why is there no shear in shem and sreifa? Because it's ton sreifa, and therefore ketusei mechlesh yura, mikomakom, imaner dole kishir asman. The shear is in the zman, and that he fulfills is therefore mutla hadli b'shemin sri. So that's I think what you were saying before is this lumdus of Rebbe Kivega. What boggles my mind here, and this is where I leave you with two questions, and then I want to go on because it's getting late. But what I really prepared for today is the next paragraph here in the sugya of the Rif. The Rif is a whole sugya, beautiful sugya. Is I want to leave you with the following two questions. Number one, what I don't understand about the Shev Yaakov is that he integrates so many different elements. You know, he starts with telling you, well, it's the difference between a Doraisa and a Drabana, and we tried to give a little bit of an explanation for that. But then he indicates that there are other variables in the equation here, and that is whether it's Pirsum HaNes, or it's not Pirsum HaNes, whether it's Yisuri HaNoah. He gives you a whole layer of parashis here. Then the other question I want to leave you with is this Chidush HaRosh Mitaybosh, that he adds a condition to Ketusei Mechtesh Yura that it only applies in Yisuri Anah. I don't think Rebbe Kivega accepted that. But basically, if you'd ask me, what do we get out of the whole thing, is that Shemen Sreifa seems to be kosher for Ner Chanukah, either because there's no Ketusei Mechtesh Yura, or for a more fundamental reason, that there is no Shir in the Shemen. The Shemen is only a Chetimtzah to get to the Shir of Zman. And therefore, there's no absolute shear that's uniform for everyone in the Shemen. It's going to be relative to various elements here, mainly the wicks.
This also apply to Shabbos?
I don't know. I think in Shabbos, there is no such thing as a shear. I think as long as it, maybe it has to last till after Tzeis HaKochavim. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I have to learn Hilchos Ner Shabbos. Okay, Rav Olsai, now we get to the main sugya for today, the Rif.
I think a contrast between Shabbos and Hanukkah might be that in Shabbos, if you set up 50 little candles...
50?
Yeah, and each one is going to go in turn, that's probably okay, whereas in Hanukkah it's going to be a Ner, right? So I'm saying Ner sounds more Shir-like. Mm. Here it's just it has to burn. There's no, like, you have to be a Ner. You know, even in Hanukkah, some people say you actually need a menorah.
Alan, I think you have an emergency call there.
I don't think so, but
if it's a heart patient, you know.
Heart has a good beat.
Yeah. It's a nice, it's a Chinese.
No. It's
sounds very.
Oh, no, that sounds like.
Okay, Rabos, are you ready for the riff?
Frankly.
This riff is very intriguing because the riff almost rewrites the Gemara, and the Rishon try to understand, and the Acharon try to understand the riff.
Yes, indeed.
What is going on in the Gemara? So Rav, if you recall, was the most maker, and he said that these Shmonim and Psulim are kosher for Ner Chanukah bein b'chol u'bein b'shav. So Birmiya explains what's the reasoning behind Rav. How can he take these inferior quality Shmonim and elevate them to be kosher for Chanukah? So Gemara answers, because Kavsa ain't Zakuk lo. Says the Rif. You know what Rav Yirmiyah is proving? How is Rav Yirmiyah proving that this is the Shita of Rav? He says that Rav Yirmiyah's proof is from the fact that you're allowed to use the Shmonim on Chanukah, on Shabbos of Chanukah. Wait a minute. If you ask me, how do we know that according to Rav, you're allowed to use these candles? And these psulim, and there's no problem with them, is because of kavsa ein zakuk. That I understand. If kavsa ein zakuk, who cares if they're inferior quality? No, that's not what Rabbi Yirmi is saying. You know how I know that according to Rav, the halach is kavsa ein zakuk? I know it from the fact that he allowed you to use these lights, these oils on Shabbos, as I state in the Rif. Let me read it to you inside. He says, "Rabbi Yirmiyah ochiach sheRav sover shem kova ner Chanukah ein tzarich lachzor ladlika." Mimasha Amar, from the fact that Rav says shem mutar lahadlik ner Chanukah b'Shabbos from these psulei shmonim. Tamu Ramban v'Meiri, they all jump on this riff. B'Shabbos l'kuli alim kova ner. Is ein tzarich ladlika? What are you proving from Shabbos? From the fact that on Shabbos there's no din of kavsa zakuk lo because of the Isur Shabbos. But why didn't the Rif go straight? Why is he going around the back? The Rif should have said, from the fact that Rav allows you to use these inferior oils on Chanukah, on Chol of Chanukah, it must be because kavsa ein tzarich ladlika. And instead the Rif says, no. You know how we know that Rav holds that kavsa ein tzarich lo? We can't derive that conclusion from the fact that he qualifies these neros for chol, but from the fact that he qualifies them for Shabbos. It's like tola davar b'fucha. Everything is upside down, inside out. Everybody see the problematic nature of this riff. The Gemara seems to say that according to Rav Yirmiyah, how do I know that Rav holds that kavsa ein tzarich lo from the fact that on chol he's machshir these psulim? Counsel in the riff says no. How did Rav Yirmiyah know that kavsa ein tzarich lo according to Rav? He knew it from the fact that you're allowed to be madlik these neros on Shabbos. So we have three basic approaches to answer up this riff. There's the Pnei Yoshua, the Chassam Sofer, and the Sfas Emes. So what I would like you to do, Rabosai, because I have to run to a bris now, is to spend the next 15 minutes before Mincha, if you have the time, because I'm assuming you were going to stay till the end of the Shia. I don't know, I'm being very large about it, making that assumption, is to go through number one, the Pnei Yoshua, number two, the Chassam Sofer, and number three, the Sfas Emes. And B'li Neder, we'll pick this up tomorrow.
And Ben Uri, we're skipping.
I'm skipping the Ben Uri. I read the Ben Uri, and it's, you know, I can't. There's certain things I just can't tolerate. You know, it's. If anybody wants to learn the Ben Uri, B'vakasha.
Who is Ben Uri?
I don't know who he is. I never heard of him. And I, after reading this.